Good morning. I'd like to welcome you all. And my name is James House, as David said, and I'm from the University of Missouri. I'm doing the Division of Plant Sciences there. I'm also research specialist at the Center for Agroforestry at the University of Missouri as well. And today I'm going to talk to you guys about establishing trees in existing pasture to create silvopasture. Some of you might not be familiar with what silvopasture is, and it's an agroforestry practice that combines a tree component, a forage component, and a livestock component, such that they're managed as a single integrated practice. Inherent to this definition is some economic diversity from adding another component to that, the trees, as well as a physical interaction component where the trees actually can interact with the livestock as well as the forage. There are two thrusts that we are researching at the University of Missouri for silvopasture. One of them is integrating forages into a treed setting, such as some unmanaged forests like you see on the left there, and that where you actually remove some trees and reduce both above ground and below ground competition to allow some space for the forage to grow. On the right and now in this shot is what I'm working on, and that's actually taking pasture and adding trees to that. There's been a lot more acceptance among a lot of natural resource managers for putting trees into pasture than for bringing cattle into the forest. So I'm going to talk to you today about silvopasture and some of the work that I've been doing. In Missouri, tall fescue is our primary forage grass that most of our systems are based off of. But unfortunately, trees and tall fescue don't go together all that well. As you can see from these photos, tree growth, these are black walnuts specifically, tree growth in tall fescue can be reduced considerably. We know that weed control is a necessary thing when establishing trees in any kind of a grass environment. However, weed control can be quite expensive, and so a lot of the work that I'm going to talk to you about is about defining how much weed control is going to be necessary. Because not only when you apply weed control, you've got chemical and labor inputs, but you're also reducing the amount of forage that's available for harvest or for livestock grazing. We've come up with some objectives for this study that we're going to cover today. And the first objective has to do with to determine if tall fescue really reduces tree growth more than a couple of other forage grasses that we find in Missouri and the Midwest, Kentucky bluegrass and orchard grass. If there is no difference, and we can kind of, if you've got a pasture that's got a little more orchard grass or a little more Kentucky bluegrass in it, there'd be no need to look toward reducing some of the inputs. Second most, our tall fescue typically is endophyte infected. Now, while we don't expect the endophyte necessarily to have any direct impact on the tree growth, the endophyte does have an effect on the growth of the competitiveness of the tall fescue. And if we can determine that maybe endophyte infected tall fescue is a little harder on the trees, then some of the movement toward non-endophyted varieties or novel endophyte varieties may affect just how much weed control we may be implementing. And finally, along the lines of competition, we want to know if adding some moisture or nutrients to the trees can alleviate some of this competition. And because these are inputs that, the expense of them is yet to be determined. However, it does lead us a long way in determining what might be going on in terms of how the fescue is competing with the trees. Jumping right into the materials and methods. In 2002, we established 7 ground covers on 168 plots. For this, we had 4 tall fescue varieties or types. We got a Kentucky 31 forage non-endophyte infected, a Kentucky 31 forage endophyte infected, the Max-Q or the Jessup tall fescue novel endophyte, as well as a Hound Dog 5 turf type tall fescue, which is shorter growing. We're hoping that with this mix of fescues, we can kind of delineate some of the effect of the endophyte, as well as determine what effect herbage growth or herbage production in general might have on this competitive relationship. And we are comparing these to orchard grass, Kentucky bluegrass, and then we have a chemical control as well, which is the ideal situation where we see little to no competition between the grass and the trees. 2003, we planted 4 tree species into each of these 168 plots. Today, due to time constraints, I'm going to only talk to you about the pitch loblolly pine and the black walnut, which represent opposite ends of the competitive spectrum as far as trees are concerned. Black walnut is a kind of a Goldilocks. It doesn't like it too hot or too cold. It takes a very specific environment. It's a very fickle tree. Whereas the pine species in general compete very well across many environments. In the spring and summer of 05 and 06, we put 4 cultural treatments over the top of the 168 plots. And these were fertilizer and irrigation, or neither. The system, or the experiment was designed as a randomized complete block design with 6 replications, and the 7 grass ground cover treatments and the 4 cultural treatments. Going, jumping right into the results, the pitch loblolly pine, as far as height and diameter growth, the type of grass it was grown in had little influence on how well it did, as well as for the height, it didn't mind if it was being treated with any weed control or not. It grew equally as well across those treatments. Diameter growth, we did see a little bit of breakout in terms of weed control resulted in a little better diameter growth. However, within the grass treatments, there was no effect for tall fescue versus the Kentucky bluegrass, the orchard grass. Whether they were endophyte or not, there just didn't seem to be a lot of difference. The pitch loblolly pine is a competitor, and it did pretty well within the grass treatments. Moving into the black walnut, however, this first slide shows you the effect of weed control. It's a necessary thing when establishing black walnut anywhere. Within the grass treatments, growth was reduced as much as 80 to 90%. Now, if we blow this up here and just look at the grass environment, we see that there were some differences, unlike for the pine trees that we looked at. For the height growth, we see that the Kentucky bluegrass actually resulted in the highest growth, and that was significantly greater than several of the grasses here, mostly all the fescues. The orchard grass kind of was lumped down there with the fescue in terms of its effect on the height growth of the black walnut. And we actually started to see this as early as 2005 with the bluegrass separating itself from the fescues, not always from the orchard grass, but there is a difference. Interestingly, the Kentucky 31 non-endophyte infected was right up there toward the top. However, it really wasn't significantly different from the other grasses or the other tall fescues, so we couldn't really lead to believe that the endophytes having a dramatic effect on the competitive nature of this relationship. For diameter, on the other hand, the bluegrass clearly separates itself from the other ones, the other grasses, the orchard grass and the tall fescues, and so we're definitely seeing an effect there for the diameter as well. Moving to the cultural treatments, for height and diameter, irrigation seems to be the big one that pine responds to. Fertilizer itself, or in combination with irrigation, resulted in the same amount of growth, or not statistically different from just irrigation. So we believe it's simply just the irrigation rather than fertilizer, because the growth with fertilizer was no different than it was with the not having anything on there. We did start to see this a little bit in the second year of growth in 2005, but it's really starting to break out now, and it'd be interesting to see what my results from this year come up with as well. We're also seeing this with the diameter, the irrigation or irrigation fertilizer, which basically leads us just to believe irrigation simply alone is resulting in the greatest growth of the pitch pine. Moving on to the black walnut, we did see this also in 2005 as well, with the numbers starting to really break out. Black walnut, on the other hand, didn't respond to any of our cultural treatments, more so than just the not applying anything. So at this point in time, we believe that those would be probably a waste of effort to apply those. That black walnut's just in a competitive environment there where it doesn't matter if you're giving it some extra water or fertilizer. We think that the grass ground covers are sucking it up before really the black walnut has a chance to utilize much of it. And we saw that also for the diameter. You did see, looks like the irrigation and the irrigation fertilizer are increasing the diameter a little bit. We might see that in time break out from the fertilizer or nothing at all, but at this point, the jury is kind of still out on that one. In conclusion, for the pitch loblolly pine, it was really unaffected by grass species. We're starting to see the diameter in the weed-free plots break out some, but within any of the grasses, whether it's endophyte or not, there really isn't a lot of difference there. And as such, we don't think near as much weed control inputs would need to be supplied to the pitch loblolly pine when placed into pasture settings. The pitch loblolly pine was increased by the irrigation, but not really fertilization. If there was the opportunity to apply irrigation to these trees, I think you would see some benefits from it. However, it's hard to say whether the economics of irrigation would actually pay or not. That would be a whole other study to look at. For the black walnut, Kentucky bluegrass does appear to be less competitive than the orchard grass or the tall fescue, irrespective of endophyte status or growth habits in the tall fescue. So if you had a pasture with a larger percentage of bluegrass in there than some tall fescue or orchard grass, there might be the opportunity to reduce some of those weed control inputs and save a little bit of money, and as well as increase your forage resource. And like I was saying there, the endophyte status seemed to have no effect whatsoever on the growth of these trees or the competitive nature of tall fescue towards the growth of these trees. And that's about all I have for you guys. I'd like to thank you all for coming out. Any questions?
Okay, we do have time for a couple of questions about that. Perhaps we could get the lights up just for a few minutes.
Yes, I do have, unfortunately with time considerations, I didn't have time to cover all the materials and what have you did, but we did have sensors in the ground, the Decagon Echo 5s, and I've irrigated to that, basically, looking at trying to maintain the soil water percent anywhere above 20% in there. We can see, you can really tell when it was getting dry, when it started to drop below 20% by volume, so that's what we went off of, rather than just randomly applying once or twice a week, something like that. So we really did shoot for our irrigation to be something more than just applying it on a time schedule. Yes, sir?
Is there any attempt to mention the herbage production of the grasses in the pasture?
There is, and I have that in a whole separate data set that I didn't really get a chance to bring up due to time constraints. What I did find is that, the bluegrass produced very well on this site. And we didn't see a lot of difference between the bluegrass production, the fescue, or the orchard grass, which really kind of pushes us away toward thinking that just simply herbage production alone is going to have a dramatic effect on the growth of these trees. So, yes, sir?
So on the fertilizer application, then, was that done just to the trees, or was it done to the entire area?
It was done just to the trees. We placed weed mats around the trees. They were only about 15 centimeters in radius. We really wanted the roots of the grasses and the trees to mingle together. But we did try to apply just to the fertilizer just to the trees.
Yes. What was the size of your experimental unit?
I'm sorry?
The size of your experimental unit.
So each plot specific, yeah. Each plot was 20 foot by 20 foot, and the trees were placed within those on a grid that the trees were 7 feet apart, and we're dealing with seedlings here that are not real large trees. They're 7 feet apart, placed basically in a square that's 5 foot inside that 20-foot plot.
Well, there's a lot of questions, but I hate to cut off a good discussion, but I would like to keep on time. So
thank you
very much.
Good.
Thank you.